This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. He joins me live in studio for an extended conversation here about a variety of topics. And I just have to, you can comment on this if you want, but I just have to note here this recent Washington Post article about incoming GOP freshmen who are rapidly embracing big money fundraisers. And if you ever thought, if you ever suspected there was a difference between Tom Perriello and Robert Hurt, the Republican candidate who won this past election and will be succeeding Tom Perriello, look no further than the fact that Robert Hurt, who railed against union and special interest money, has so far, since he was elected, received contributions toward retiring his campaign debt from Rolls-Royce, Verizon, Yum Brands, and more. Overall, he received more than $600,000 from PACs in 2010, according to the FEC. So Robert Hurt definitely going in a different direction than Tom Perriello. And I guess this is just what you see, not only among Democrats, but especially among Republicans when they get to Washington. They just go up there with their hand out.
Well, yeah, and I think people should read the Washington Post article. It came out, on the 5th of November. You can Google the Washington Post website and read it. But it does show you a lot of money's going into a lot of the incoming congressmen, which raises real questions about how money controls things in Washington, D.C. We all know that, I mean, but I think we really have to watch the people we have elected. We have to hold them to their promises. It looks like, according to this article, which is well-researched, by the way, that many of them, including Robert Hurt, are taking a lot of money from lobbyists and big corporations, and we know that comes with a price. I mean, that's, you don't have to be cynical to believe that. Skeptical.
Well, I just wonder whether conservatives would say, who supported Hurt and they voted for him for change in Washington, that's absolutely not what he's going to deliver. I mean, he's going to deliver us the corporate state that we've been forced to get used to in this country over the last few decades.
And I think that's true. I think the corporate state is here. We're dealing with that. And one of the issues we want to talk about is the Department of Homeland Security's new video by Janet Napolitano, which is going to be aired in Walmart stores now. I mean, it just shows you that we're the corporate powers have fused almost completely with government in many ways. And the thing about corporations, not to say bad things about corporations, because we all have jobs and corporations do good things, but corporations are there to make money. And that's the bottom line, not to protect rights. My fear is, as I express myself in a commentary that's coming out tomorrow, is that our government is identifying with the corporate structure more and more, which means the idea that we have rights and freedoms will be viewed less kindly. So,
yeah. The priority for government then becomes corporate profit and the marketplace rather than the freedoms and liberties of its citizens.
And that's the main problem. Again, corporations are there to make money, not to protect rights. And when you have the corporations and government fusing, that's a very dangerous development. And Jefferson, by the way, spoke out against that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He said that was a very dangerous thing to do. And we're seeing it happen. I go so far to say that we have moved into the corporate state mode. And, again, when we talk about the case that we filed yesterday on behalf of three passengers across the country, that the reason we have these full-body scanners and this big hullabaloo over what we're seeing happening in airports is that the corporate powers argued very effectively to have these put in airports when they weren't thoroughly tested. We don't know if they work, and they may even be medically dangerous, but we have them. But that was because large corporations like Rapiscan, whose chief lobbyist is Michael Chertoff, used to be head of Department of Homeland Security, argued for them vigorously, and now we have them. And President Obama freed up $1 billion. That's a billion with a B on it. $1 billion of stimulus money to buy these type of things.
Didn't Congress just a few years ago turn down these body scanners?
Yeah.
They said, no, we don't want to go that route. So then Chertoff goes to the Obama administration directly and the TSA and Department Department of Homeland Security and just goes around Congress.
With other lobbyists, yeah. So they go straight on, and you know, the money's been freed up. So that's what we're seeing. We have to really be, I think, on our toes right now. We have to find out how what money our congressmen that are if what monies our congressmen are getting, how it's being used. Are they flying around the country doing? You know, again, many of the congressmen, you know, have been caught golfing trips, nice lavish meals, those kind of things paid for by lobbyists. But that's how you get votes in Washington D.C.
Yeah.
There's at least 25 lobbyists per congressman.
There's a new documentary out called Casino Jack, which is fantastic. That there's a Hollywood movie that comes out in a couple weeks or a few days that has the same name. But the documentary is already out about the Jack Abramoff scandal, and it's fantastic. It really just shows you exactly how it works and what they did and how they gamed what is a legal system to enrich themselves and literally to create laws in Washington.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what people aren't – I think people aren't aware of the extent to which the laws that are passed in Congress are actually not only advocated – yes or no by lobbyists. They're written by lobbyists.
Yes,
they're written
true.
By corporate America.
That's true. And so the thing that we've become accustomed to is that the government is Washington, D.C., but you know the people who wrote our Constitution believe just the opposite. Government was Charlottesville. It was Albemarle County. But today we think everything comes out of Washington, D.C., and so that's a real problem because government is so far away. We have no way of knowing what a Robert Hurt is doing, or a Tom Perriello. It's very, very difficult. The watchdog groups do a good job, but then you have exposés and you find out that our local congressman is getting money from Rolls Royce.
Yeah, Robert Hurt.
I saw Rolls Royce. I said, why Rolls Royce?
Yeah, I mean, why is Robert Hurt getting a ton of money from Rolls Royce? Yeah,
obviously, they don't do it because they just want to be nice. They do it because it gives them power. And so... Verizon, you know, obviously if communication bills come up, those kind of things, you have to be really careful. Watch how he votes.
John, we're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. The phone lines are open for you, 977-1070. John, let me ask you about this now. You made news this week when you announced officially that you were representing some of the passengers who'd been groped and had their junk touched by TSA folks. Give us the details on this, because you had a previous lawsuit that represented pilots, but this is different.
Yeah, we filed a lawsuit. We represented two pilots. We filed the lawsuit on a Tuesday. I believe it was mid-November. By Friday, the TSA announced that they would only require pilots to have identification cards, which was a nice victory. Then we had so many people across the country that had contacted us, and we got publicity from this lawsuit with their stories, and the more stories I read, the more outraged I got. So three of those particular people we are representing, just to tell you what they're one, they are. One is a lady named Adrienne Durso. She's a recent breast cancer survivor. She has undergone a mastectomy. She went through the full-body scanner. They pulled her out. They saw that there was an abnormal thing on her breast, obviously from a mastectomy. She informed them she had a mastectomy. They touched her, and she said, be careful. And she was in pain. They touched her, and she started to cry. And she said, please, I have a mastectomy. The TSA agent actually spun her around, rubbed her on the buttocks, and went up and touched her on her mastectomy again. And she, you know, broke down and left the airport. Wouldn't fly that day. Another passenger is a fellow from Kentucky who is a frequent flyer. He has to fly to make a living. When he was a teenager, he had an accident and injured a part of his genitals, which is a little enlarged, and that showed up on the full-body scanner. They did a pat-down. He told the TSA agent, you know, obviously when the guy touched it, he said, that's it, I want to leave the airport. He became emotional, and they actually told him he could not leave the airport at that point.
See, this is the point that a lot of people aren't aware of. You, if you decide to back out and leave, they can threaten you with a fine or jail if you leave the airport.
Yeah, they grabbed him and said, you can't leave. They led him to a room where two more agents came in, actually touched him again on his genital area. He finally just, after that, he did leave the airport. He went home. He didn't make his trip that day. The third plaintiff in this lawsuit, and there are a number of cases like this. We just picked three. A 12-year-old girl was traveling. Her guardians were going through the metal detector. They pulled her out of line. a male TSA agent and said, now you got to do the full body scan. Put her through the full body scan where they watched. They could see she was nude. Her parents are Christians. They're outraged and got really upset. Yeah. So these are religious folks. And so those are the three people we're defending. The claim is these are unreasonable searches and seizures under the Fourth Amendment to our Constitution.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. And it's just amazing. So you have filed this case against the TSA and the Department of Homeland Security.
But here's the thing. When they were the mastectomy, Ms. Durso was being there. Her teenage son was with her. And he said, hey, why don't you pat me down? They weren't even patting him down. He's 17 years old. The TSA agent says, son, because you don't have boobs. That's what he said to the kid.
Oh, my God.
People were standing there. So I think a lot of this, I keep telling people this, interviews I've done on television and otherwise, I think we have some really poorly trained people here. I think that there's no way you would have this happening. These are average Americans. These are not terrorists. And two of these people went through the scanners.
You mean the passengers, yeah.
They're not terrorists. Yeah, these are just,
yeah.
And they know who they are.
And the TSA agents, these folks aren't PhDs and have master's degrees and, MBAs, and I mean, a lot of these folks just have high school degrees, and you know, if that, I mean, I don't know what
you pull a 12-year-old girl out of line when everybody else is going through a metal detector and make her go through a full body scanner. I mean, you can conjure up ideas if you happen to be a certain person.
Just amazing. Yeah. I mean, it really is unbelievable. It's unbelievable to me. Now, the legal grounds for this is the Fourth Amendment, right?
Yes.
Which was created to prevent the government from authorizing unreasonable searches and seizures. If you were to be searched, if any of your property was to be taken, somebody had to go before a judge, right, and say, hey, we have reason to believe that this person
Search
committed a crime.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, again, if police see someone committing a crime on the street or they think it's a reasonable, you know, someone has a gun or they chasing somebody, sure, the police should be able to pull over and stop the person and frisk them to see what's going on. You know, that's the rule is that it's reasonable if there's a reasonable suspicion that some kind of criminal activity is afoot, that there may be someone committing an illegal act or a crime. But these people, obviously, you know, it's just once you go through a scanner, once you've been touched once on the genitals, and you're talking about average, a 12-year-old girl. I mean, you're touching a woman who has a mastectomy and she's crying, and the 17-year-old son says, why aren't you patting me? They're not patting him down.
Yeah.
Why do you let him go? See, it's just discretionary. It's just poor training. I keep saying that. I mean, I think better training, and they need to know about what the Fourth Amendment prohibits and use some common sense here. There's no reason to have to file this lawsuit. These are just – but we have – these are coming in daily, these kind of cases. So these are just three of a number.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
We're talking with John Whitehead. Christine is with us, and she got patted down, what, at a concert?
At the Dave Matthews concert. They patted down everybody. And I'm not very tall, and I was one of the first to go in, and when I didn't realize what was happening, and it was very cursory. It was just down the side, and I said, I'm not getting on an airplane, and she said, well, this is what it's come to, and, you know, I just did it, and then I walked through the door, and I thought, what was that? I mean, I was astounded. I mean, it's not nearly as bad as the cases you've been describing, Mr. Whitehead, but they did everybody, and I haven't heard a word that anyone has complained. I don't stay glued to the radio, but I don't go to these events often. I think the last one was Elton John, but I didn't get patted down then.
Yeah, that is amazing. Christine, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And I guess the larger point here, John, is that we're just seeing this kind of thing more and more and more. I mean, we could have a society one day where you got to go through a full-body scanner to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And John Pistol, who's head of the TSA, has said now they're moving into train stations and bus stations. People are already getting patted down in bus stations, but they're going to move the scanners there because, again, there's a lot of money to be made by the large corporations. They're pushing for that. Eventually, a few people are projecting outward, saying eventually – to pass in a road in America, you're going to be going through what looks like toll booths, and they're going to be scanning your car. But they do have mobile scanners. I've written about this on our website. They are government vehicles. They can go by here right now and see us as we do this interview. Why they want to do that kind of stuff, I mean, it boggles the mind. It just...
But the technology exists, and then you have corporate lobbyists who are pushing the government to buy this equipment and enrich a company, and at the expense of liberty.
And what we very subtly, very quickly, we're moving into a surveillance state. There's no idea. I mean, you really can't argue against that anymore. It's happening. The question is, will most Americans put up with it? And so my opinion is yes, they will. I think there's going to be a minority of people who are going to oppose it. And I don't think they're all right-wingers or left-wingers. I think there's just people get concerned, they get fed up. And these people here that we're representing, they're just average, ordinary Americans. They're not doing this as a political thing. They're just outraged. I mean, a woman with a mastectomy.
Yeah, yeah.
A 12-year-old girl.
I mean, let's go back to the phone. Susan is in Earliesville. Susan, go right ahead.
Hi. I want to just bring up a point that I've thought about, and then I'll get off the line and listen to your comments. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people in this world that actually have experienced sexual abuse. And I'm thinking especially of those who experience sexual abuse as children. And I would think that this type of experience would be extremely traumatic and possibly damaging for them. And just wondered what you thought about that.
Susan, thank you so much for the call. That certainly is an angle on this whole story, isn't it?
Yeah, good point. We've heard from some people that have experienced that, but it's just like one of the clients here, the man who had a bit of an enlarged genital because of a childhood accident. It was traumatic that day. He left the airport. He didn't fly that day. He went home. I mean, it's just very emotional. I mean,
you shouldn't have to have your private touch to get on a plane. I mean, that's the whole point. Why is that a requirement?
No.
Why is that a requirement?
Why is that a requirement?
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute.
Well, I can give you the answer. They want you to go through the full body scanner. That's the point. It's a punitive measure. I mean, it's
you're being punished for not going through their scanner.
Yeah, you're going to get touched this way. If you go through the scanner. But here's the thing. These people here went through scanners.
They got it both. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. Joined us live in studio. So what is going on at Walmart? What is about to happen at Walmart?
Yeah, in the coming weeks, more than 600 Walmart stores in 27 states will begin playing a video message or messages at checkout stations. And when you're checking out on a big TV screen, you'll see Janet Napolitano, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, where she's urging, and I've watched the video, where she urges shoppers to report suspicious activity to local law enforcement agents. And it's the shoppers she's talking about. The people around you. So the strange thing when you watch the video, though, is suspicious activity is nowhere defined. So it can mean anything. It could be someone blowing their nose on their underwear. It can mean anything. Because if you look at the history of this is the way, by the way, regimes in the past have worked, using citizens to report other people. So it can mean anything. So the thing about all
this sounds
this,
like something you'd hear out of the old Russia, the Russia when I was growing up, that you know, the Soviet Russia.
Or Nazi Germany.
Yeah. I mean, this is unbelievable.
The thing is, though, they're tying in, addition to Walmart, they're partnering with Mall of America, American Hotel and Lodging Association. So you're going to see this in hotels, Amtrak, the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. It's a multi-million dollar campaign, posters, billboards. This is, you've seen the old Orwell movies, 1984, you're going to see some big posters. It's going to be basically report suspicious activity, but that's not defined. That's the dangerous thing. If it was someone carrying a large bomb or whatever, you do, a package that's ticking, maybe something defined. But all these intelligence agencies are tied in with the local police and the local county sheriffs. So all this intelligence is collected through fusion centers. Most people know what fusion centers are. They're about 70 around the country. They continue growing. We have them here in Virginia. There's intelligence centers connected to the military and the police and the CIA and the National Security Agency. And what they do is they monitor activity. If the police pass and they collect something from your license plate with a license plate reader, that feeds into the fusion centers. So there's just continual checking on your activities. ACLU has come out against the fusion centers. They've caught actually fusion centers telling people that if someone's taking notes, students are drawing pictures in front of buildings. They've been pulled over by the police and for just innocent activity. But the thing is with this new video is it's going to make everybody want to kind of look for suspicious activity. The question, what is it? There's a fellow named Robert Gelately. He wrote a book called Backing Hitler, Consent and Coercion in Nazi Germany. And here's what he said. This is an excellent book from Oxford University Press, by the way, 2001. He says, there were relatively few secret police in Nazi Germany, and most were just processing the information coming in. I had found a shocking fact. It wasn't the secret police who were doing this wide-scale surveillance and hiding on every street corner. It was the ordinary German people who were informing on their neighbors. Then he goes on to talk about if you got mad at somebody, you just reported them to the police, and they got examined. Some of the signs supposedly is unfriendly people. Here's great. One of the signs supposedly is of suspicious activity, debating controversial subjects. So you and I right now are engaged in suspicious activity. The problem with these programs, I think, is if people accept this, we are definitely, there's no way that we're not going to move into some kind of strange era where you're going to be in some file. The question is, once you go into these police files, intelligence files, you're there, whether you've done anything or not. So I think that's where we're headed.
The natural progression will be to move more and more people into these files.
But, you know, what we talked about, the burgeoning of the corporations in the state, you see this right here with Walmart, the hotels associations. You're having the government feed directly into private corporations saying, look out for somebody doing something suspicious in a lobby. But think about it. All the except for the 9/11 incident, the only other two was the fellow in Times Square who was a complete idiot, and then the underwear bomber and the Robert Reed incidents with the shoes, and those both happened overseas. So all this for whatever. But I'm afraid that we're going to start looking at each other as paranoid. I've often said this, is that the biggest thing that those in power fear is the unity of the American people, us actually being unified. But this stuff does, it divides us.
It keeps us separated.
Keeps us separated.
So does every time when MSNBC or Fox, when they get on and they hit these things that keep people,
into this
imaginary right-left world, liberals versus conservatives, they keep us at each other's throats. That only benefits them. It only keeps the problems alive that we all agree are there.
So you're going to have, with this kind of activity, you have people reporting all kinds of strange things to the police, or definitely not crime. Sure, they're going to do it. We're moving into a whole different era with this. This is far. You're going to see them in Walmart, not just Walmart. You're going to see them in a lot of places. But Walmart's really going to be the test market.
This is so sad. It's so sad.
I've watched the video. It doesn't define suspicious activity. So it's basically watch everybody around you, your neighbors.
And report anything.
Report anything to the police immediately that might look suspicious. Well, what is that? I mean, if I want to really bring them down, I can say, hey.
Yeah.
I saw him doing this. They'll have to investigate it, whether it's true or not.
There's been so much written and by scholars who've studied fascist societies, and this idea of fear is really one of the things that really takes hold early on, that the powers that be take advantage of, and they feed like a flame. They love that. That's one thing to think that I would encourage people to think about. The news that you're watching, are you being taught to be afraid?
Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Gulag Archipelago, the great books, the great Russian dissident, wrote that in Russia there were very few secret police. It was the Russian people who were fearful. He said that two Russian KGB agents could terrorize a 9-story building in Russia by dragging somebody out. No one would come out of their doors to say a word because they were afraid of two agents. Where he said if just 10 people came out, they could have thrown them out of the building, the two, for taking an innocent citizen away. I hope we're not coming to that kind of mentality, but it looks like it. I mean, you watch this video, and she doesn't define what she's talking about. It's just suspicious activity.
See, I think the American people, by and large, are afraid of their government. I think they are.
You shouldn't be, because you are the government.
Yeah. Well, and that was the intention.
Yes.
But the government that we have is the exact government that Jefferson was so afraid that that we wouldn't have.
Well, this is a government alien to the people right here. This is trying to turn everybody against everybody. We've got to really be careful now. I mean, I wouldn't report anybody unless they give me some definitions. As a lawyer, I always ask people when they write laws or a government makes statements, please define what you're talking about. I got to know. Otherwise, I'm not going to prosecute or bring somebody down.
Amazing, amazing videos in Walmart, hotels, and out in public spaces.
They want you to watch your neighbors now. I mean,
telling you to be afraid and report on each other.
So, we fight against political correctness. We want free speech, but people are going to be afraid to speak. I mean, why would you say anything in public now? anything. Why would I debate anybody in a store saying something stupid?
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute live in studio for an extended conversation about the very latest. Now, the connection between the Janet Napolitano videos that we're going to see in Walmart telling us to be afraid and to be suspicious of our neighbors, there's a nice connection between that and our red light cameras.
Yes. When she was governor of Arizona, she was one of the pilot states to work with Redflex Corporation to initiate the red light cameras, which they're doing away with in Arizona right now, by the way. They're going to let the contract expire and get out of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's what also happened in Houston. I mean, these people that are further down the road from us who've been working with Redflex, the company that Albemarle County is working
with,
down the road, and they realize, holy cow, this is a major problem.
Yep.
And Albemarle County, though, has buried its head in the sand, hoping that it's going to make a lot of money and hoping that people in Albemarle County and Central Virginia will just shut up and pay the fine and won't complain when these red light cameras go live late Saturday night this weekend. And I hope that they remember this phone number, 978-3888. Again, 978-3888. Write it down. And if you get one of these citations, quote-unquote tickets, you need to call that number and ask for John Whitehead.
And the thing that we talked about the other day on the radio was Governor McDonald this summer signed a couple laws on the books which are really dangerous. One, allowing Redflex and corporations like that to go straight into DMV and get your records. That's a private corporation in Australia viewing your past infractions, your address, knowing where you're at.
And this supposedly from a conservative Republican governor who signed law that would allow a private corporation in Australia
to
get into
your
our DMV computers.
Yes. And the other was, it used to be 60 days to object to an infraction. Well, his law now is 30 days for the red light camera. So he shortened it cut it in half. So you only have 30 days. And by the time you get it, you're going to have a very short time to make a decision, which if you just think about why that was done, that's so you will pay it. You won't have a lot of time to think about it. You'll go ahead and pay it, and that's the object.
Yeah.
$50 fine. Yes.
Amazing.
Say it isn't for money, but D.C. Instituted the cameras 2 years ago, and they've doubled their revenue. Twice as many so-called infractions and money.
That's exactly what this is.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
And they game the numbers to try to show that, you know, accidents are down or whatever. But we're going to see an increase in rear-end collisions at the intersection when those cameras go
up. Great increase in neck injuries, those kind of things. The other thing is Redflex, while the economy was tanking when Obama took office, Redflex revenues rose 48%.
Yeah.
Made a lot of money.
And Albemarle County, we're talking about a lot of money that's going out of our local economy and sent to Sydney, Australia. So hopefully we'll see people, and it's going to take getting these citations. That's what it's going to take. And for the folks who say, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with this, just don't run a red light. That's not how it works. You know, I was out there and saw that light clicking for people who were going right on red. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. What happens on December 16th?
December 16th, Chris Hedges, Daniel Ellsberg, and a number of protesters are gathering at Lafayette Park across from the White House to protest the war in Iraq and Iran. I mean, excuse me, Afghanistan. Not yet. But to protest those two wars, I don't know how big the gathering is going to be, but Chris Hedges, Daniel Ellsberg, people remember him, Pentagon Papers.
Yeah.
They're going to chain themselves to the White House fence, and we may be assisting them legally. There's not a lot you can do when you chain yourself to the fence. You're going to spend a night in jail, but there may be some First Amendment issues of people getting hassled by the police. We're going to be looking at that issue as well.
Yeah.
I've talked with Chris Hedges.
We talked with Chris Hedges yesterday on this program, his new book, The Death of the Liberal Class, and he's a friend of yours, and you've worked with him in the past. Really smart guy. An amazing writer. His books are fantastic. So he's planning on getting arrested at the White House on December 16th. This will be national news, along with Daniel Ellsberg.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take me back to the Pentagon Papers. You were watching that and come out in the news in real time back then.
Sort of like the WikiLeaks phenomenon. They released secret documents from the Pentagon, which got them in a lot of trouble, of course, like the fellow with WikiLeaks.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about the WikiLeaks?
I think that we have a very closed secret government. The more we know about our government, of course, we don't want anything that would actually be damaging to our troops, but I don't see that with what's being released, actually. But I think that our government really operates in secret. We know that. They just announce programs like they're going to have videos in Walmart, like they're going to have full-body scanners. There's no votes taken on those things. The big problem I see in all this, basically, with the way our government functions is Congress. Congress is absolutely awful. How many people know that Bush and Obama both issuing executive orders doing whatever they want to do? I mean, they just bypass Congress. I mean, Obama bypasses Congress. Congress doesn't vote on the full body scanners.
They did. They voted no.
Yeah, but they have a new bill, supposedly, and they're sitting there. But again, Congress can block these things. They do nothing. They just sit there and watch the government operate. So the more we know about what they're doing, in most instances, I think is good. Yes. And I think what it shows you is, too, with the Ellsbergs and the WikiLeaks founder, is that if you resist, they're going to get you. So it's big government and corporations working with them.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very difficult. I know I work in this era. We sue the federal government a lot. It's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing to do. Once you get into the area and you see what they're doing, sometimes it's shocking. So
Chris Hedges was telling you that we've gotten to the point now where it's really time for civil disobedience. It's time to get arrested for and chain yourself to the White House fence.
Yeah, and that's his view. I think he said that we've crossed the Rubicon now. It's back to Martin Luther King type action. But I would say that if you're opposed to there's other things you can do. If you're opposed to Janet Napolitano telling you to look at your neighbors at Walmart over her video, tell Walmart. Just say, hey, I'll stop shopping there. I mean, there's a lot of things we, the consumer, can do. We just have to take a stand. I don't think we need to give up on these things. A lot of people are not going to do those kind of things. There's a lot of things you can do. You can go down to City Hall. If you don't like the red light cameras, get you a picket sign or whatever, go down to City Hall and object. Call me. It takes citizen participation. I mean, court cases are slow and court cases are rolling the dice, but citizens can do a lot of good things, but citizens have to get involved. That means turning the TV set off and stop watching those mindless talking heads. I don't watch any of that stuff. Occasionally, just to see how mindless it can be. But if you're getting most of your news from television, you're in a bad shape.
The word I've been getting from some members of the Board of Supervisors in some emails is they're saying, we appreciate the concerns you have about red light cameras. We're going to give it a year. And so basically what they're saying is, we want to see how much money we can make, and we're going to see if anybody makes a big stink.
Yeah.
And we want to see, I think they actually believe that it has something to do with safety. So they want to see if safety is improved there. But, the fact is they put a camera up looking at one section of that intersection where there are no red light running accidents. There's zero. So why is the camera even pointed in that direction?
Well, the Virginia Department of Transportation 2007 study basically concluded there was really no justification for the cameras, no pressing need for them in the state of Virginia, because basically they don't really improve safety. And the recommended thing, and all studies show this, I know people who disagree with this, general citizens, but all studies show just lengthening the yellow light time. In Arlington, they lengthened the yellow light time from 4 seconds to 5.5. At a troubled intersection, it stopped almost completely any red light running. 1.5 seconds.
And the big problem with the intersection of Rio and 29, I've said this so many times, it is absolutely broken because they give, if you're on Rio Road and you're turning to go north or south on 29, they literally give you like 2 or 3 seconds of a green because, and VDOT has said this, 29 is a major highway. We want to keep the north-south traffic moving. So good luck trying to approach 29 and go right or left. So they give you actually very, very little time, very quick greens, very quick yellows to try to turn and navigate that intersection as a motorist. So it's broken. And they'll admit it. It doesn't work right.
I talked to UVA students that study with us. I talked about the red light camera, and they said when they went home for Thanksgiving, they said go home to their hometown and said, yellow light's longer, no red light running. They come back to Shawsville, they're so short. They said, we occasionally run red lights. So lengthen the yellow light time. I'd have given that a chance for 6 months to see them. That would have improved things. And I guarantee you, according to every study out there, it does do that.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It decreases red light running accidents.
People do not want to run red lights. They just don't.
But they want to try to get through an intersection. They don't want to have to sit there for 2 and 3 cycles to do it. I mean, people know this intersection. You could be the fourth car in line and you won't get through.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible here.
Hey, I got a couple minutes left. Before you go, I wanted to ask you about, I mentioned the other day on the radio that Glenn Beck was a buffoon and a dangerous man. And you were telling me today, you said, Coy, he's no buffoon.
I don't think Glenn Beck's a buffoon. I think he's a very astute capitalist. He advertises his own events very well. I mean, he made $33 million last year. So I don't think he's a buffoon.
That's amazing. Imagine that?
I think.
He's his own company.
I'll be honest with you, but sometimes I've watched him, he's talked up to Bill of Rights, he's right on. I think it's his conclusions that he draws sometimes. I mean, he has his little diagrams, and he'll connect some guy who lived 20 years ago right to President Obama, whoever was this wild.
Well, it's when he comes out and says things like, you know, food safety bills are about the government's, you know, it's about starvation. It's about the government trying to be able to starve you. And I hear stuff like that, and
yeah,
I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah, so it's his conclusions. He raises alerts, his conclusions he draws.
Yeah, it's just amazing. John Whitehead is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. John, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.